The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Doris Hyde from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from a veritable alphabet soup. VFO, NVDA, ACB, AFB, KCB, NFB, and the NC Symphony, as well as Triangle Sings, has very short notice announcements of concerts that are coming up on the weekend of the 4th and 5th. Today's reading of Vision News is underwritten by an anonymous gift in loving memory of Joe and Kelly. First up, a job opening in San Francisco. Established in 1977, the Independent Living Resource Center, ILRS, San Francisco, is one of the oldest and most successful disability justice organizations in California. The next executive director will have the unique opportunity to build capacity and strengthen the organization. The executive director reports to the board of directors and has the overall strategic and operational responsibility for the nonprofit's staff, consultants, and programs. The new executive director will have knowledge of and experience working in the independent living field, equity, community engagement, and ILRCSF's core programs, which will be used in the execution of the organization's vision and mission. Organizational responsibilities include leadership and management, ensure ongoing programmatic excellence evaluations, and consistent quality of finance and administration. Provide leadership in developing programs, organizational and financial plans with the board of directors and staff, and oversee the implementation of plans and policies. Ensure compliance with federal, state, and local regulations. Maintain a working knowledge of significant developments and trends related to ILRCSF programmatic strategies. Recommend timelines and resources needed to achieve the strategic goals. Actively engage board members, partnering individuals and organizations, and funders. Seek and build board involvement with strategic direction for ongoing local operations. Ensure effective systems to track progress and regularly evaluate program components that can measure success, which can be effectively communicated to the board of directors, funders, and other stakeholders. Supervise staff, lead and participate in coalition meetings, and work effectively with diverse partners. Set up financial and organizational protocols with the board to ensure the nonprofit is in compliance with the general accounting practices. Work with finance committees and the board in preparing an annual budget. Manage budgets, grant reporting, and donor expansion. Fundraising. Expand local revenue and fundraising activities to support existing programs, general operations, and regional expansion, such as grant writing or conducting an annual fundraiser event with new and old potential donors. Use external presence and relationships to gain new opportunities. Planning and organizational development. Revise and facilitate a strategic planning process for program advancement and organizational expansion. Build new partnerships, such as establishing relationships with funders, donors, such as decision makers, and community leaders to expand programs. Be an external presence that promotes programs. Community engagement. Engage and educate the general public and decision makers around access, disability rights, and independent living. Sustain a broad coalition composed of diverse leaders, community members, and stakeholders from throughout the county who are committed to advancing access for all people with disabilities. Establish working relationships, collaborations, and alliances with diverse community groups and social/environmental justice partners to implement ILRCSF's strategic initiatives. Human resources. Oversee recruitment, employment, and performance of all personnel. Work in conjunction with senior-level staff. Directly supervise program staff. Ensure job descriptions are developed, regular performance evaluations are held, and sound human resource practices, partners, and policies are in place. Encourage staff professional development and related evolving skills to ILRCSF mission and goals. Minimum qualifications. At least 5 years of experience working at the senior staff level at a social justice nonprofit, preferably with a disability rights issue. experience with supervising staff, strong skills in staff management, facilitation, conflict resolution, and team building, ability to oversee financial budgets and systems, knowledge of community engagement strategies that increase participation of local community members in an effort to address issues identified in the community, training in coalition and capacity building for marginalized populations, excellent written and verbal communication skills, able to work independently and be self-initiating, demonstrate ability to work with diverse communities, commitment to goals and philosophy of ILRCSF, ability to travel, understanding the importance of assistive technology, preferred qualifications, experience and knowledge with independent living philosophy, and the local disability justice community, cultural competency, and the ability to work with a diverse group of people. Must be comfortable with public speaking, including the media. ILRCSF is an equal opportunity employer that does not discriminate on the basis of race, religion, disability, gender, nationality, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or any other protected category. We strongly encourage people with disabilities, women, people of color, LGBTQI, and all qualified persons to apply for this position. Report to ILRCSF Board of Directors. Compensation and benefits $80,000 to $125,000 per year. Salary will be commensurate with experience. We offer a generous benefit package that includes medical, dental, paid holidays, vacation, and sick paid time off. Location of office, San Francisco, California. Application deadline, May 18, 2018, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Summer Time. To apply, send a cover letter and resume to jobs at ilrcsf.org. This note from ACB, Diabetics in Action. Good afternoon, all. This is your president, D. Clayton. I am just sending this note to see how everyone's doing. I have heard from only a couple of members about why they joined us and what they expect from the affiliate. Also, what would you, as a member, like to do to get more involved? Here are some of the committees we could use help with. Fundraising, with Sandy Feldman as chair. Under that, we have the MMS Committee and the Brenda Dillon Walkathon, which are needed immediately. Right now, these are the main ones, but committees come up from time to time. Also, if we have any members interested in running as a board member, and especially if anyone would be interested in being treasurer, please contact me or Tom Jones at tomljones46@gmail.com. Telephone 708-341-0450. Sandy's email is sandy.feldman3@gmail.com. Phone 515-729-8427. I know we have many hard workers out there, so please let us know as soon as possible what you can do. The three of us will, but waiting in anticipation to hear from you. D. Clayton, President, ACB, Diabetics in Action. Phone 515-848-5007. Email deeclaytonne@gmail.com. That should read dclayton1@gmail.com. There was a typo in the email. The Sound Prints magazine for April 23rd is now online. New procedure restores ability to see light. Remembering Sue Amater, a great advocate. New resources for audio describe TV and videos. http://www.kentucky-acb.org/soundprints. Link to subscribe to the Sound Prints audio magazine podcast with the extension .xml. If you have any questions about the Sound Prints audio magazine, contact the Kentucky Council of the Blind, phone 502-895-4598, email kcb@kentucky-acb.org. The American Foundation for the Blind invites your participation in a conference call. AFB Direct Connect. Let your voice be heard during an interactive conference session specifically for older people with visual impairments. What? Second National Conversation on Aging and Vision Loss. Who? Older individuals with vision loss. Where? https://esc.zoom.us/j 888-788-7878. That's tricky. Or by phone, 888-794-9888. Meeting ID number 788-788-778#. When May 4th, 2018, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Summer Time. Cost free. Agenda, introduction. Learn about the 21st century agenda on aging and vision loss, how it affects you, and what is currently happening with the goals developed from the first national conversation with older persons with vision loss. Goal 1, funding for services for older people with vision loss. Goal 2, ensuring availability and quality of professionals who provide these services. Goal 3, collaboration across service delivery systems to maximize resources for tackling critical needs, for example, transportation. Goal 4, funding for low vision devices. Interactive feedback. Share your thoughts, opinions, and concerns about questions such as, what are the most enjoyable and challenging parts of your day-to-day life? If you had a magic wand and could change one thing about living with vision loss, what would it be? What device or technology should be invented to improve the lives of older people who are blind and visually impaired? What advice would you give to a friend or neighbor who is new to vision loss? What is the best advice you have received while adjusting to vision loss? How do you use services and supports related to aging and vision loss? What else should be on the agenda? Can't attend? Share your thoughts through our survey, www.afb.org/aging survey, or call 234-228-6165. Questions? Email progers@afb.net. We look forward to hearing your voice. On Monday, Tech Talk welcomed Quentin Christensen from the great country of Australia and representing NV Access to speak to us about the company and the great work they are doing with NVDA. Our story, Michael Curran and James Teh met as children on a music camp for the blind where they realized they shared a strong interest in computers. Several years later, they decided to join forces to help improve the accessibility of computers for blind and vision impaired people. For blind people to use a computer, they need a screen reader, which reads the text on the screen in a synthetic voice or with a braille display. But in many cases, screen reading software costs more than the computer itself. In the past, this has left computers inaccessible to millions of blind people around the world. This is a critical problem because without computers, access to education and employment is severely limited, not to mention everyday functions such as online banking, shopping, and news. In April 2006, Michael began to develop a free screen reader called https://www.nvaccess.org/about/nvda-features. NVDA, non-visual desktop access, for use with computers running on Windows. He invited James, who had recently completed his IT degree, to develop the software with him. Together, these two fully blind men founded the not-for-profit organization, NV Access, to support the development of the NVDA screen reader. Before too long, they were able to work full-time on the project, thanks to a series of corporate grants and individual donations. NVDA has been translated by volunteers into more than 43 languages and has been used by people in more than 120 countries. It has also won multiple awards. NVDA is open source software, which means the code is accessible to anyone. This enables translators and developers around the world to continually contribute to its expansion and improvement. Through this work, Michael and James have gained extensive expertise in software accessibility. They've also fostered relationships with companies such as Mozilla, Microsoft, IBM, Adobe, and Yahoo, and have contributed to the accessibility of their respective products. NV Access is based in Southeast Queensland, Australia. I have personally have been with NV Access since 2015. Prior to that, I worked for a major blindness organization as an adaptive technology trainer teaching people to use NVDA and other assistive technology. At NV Access, I have written our training material, basic training for NVDA, Microsoft Word with NVDA, and Microsoft Excel with NVDA, as well as designing our NVDA Certified Expert Program and providing user support presenting on NVDA at conferences such as CSUN. My name, Quentin Christensen. Email info@nvaccess.org. Phone +617 3149 3306. Co-chaired of the session was Ken Metz and Ellen Lemley. Obviously, Ken Metz is not going to be present for a little while. It aired on April 23rd and has been archived. Here is supplemental information from Quentin that about the program that aired on Monday the 23rd. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak. I hope my presentation was of interest to everyone. Sorry for not double-checking the best way to share links with everyone, but here are some resources your listeners may find useful. NV Access website, https://www.nvaccess.org/. Download NVDA at https://www.nvaccess.org/download/. In process blog at https://www.nvaccess.org/category/in-process/. NVDA Certified Expert Program at https://certification.nvaccess.org/. New video short version, https://www.youtube.com/watchquery_v=KS7WKV_UX0. Long video, https://youdescribe.org/video/R-AKYW9ZCGQM. NVDA Con, https://www.nvdacon.org/. Contact us at info@nvaccess.org. Twitter at nvaccess. You can download the discussion at https://accessibleworld.org/sites/files/tt-04-23-18-welcomes-quentin-christensen-nv-access-discussing-nvda.mp3. View the description of the program at http://accessibleworld.org/node/2426. Accessible World Team, providing accessible internet resources around the globe. http://accessibleworld.org/signed Jim Ruby. Speaking of Ken Metz, here is an update from his wife about his condition. First, thank you for all the prayers. They are appreciated. As you all know, I belong to a blind acting group, and usually we put on our plays in May. Well, the good thing is that my play will not be done until September, so I have a few months to get Ken back on his feet. The doctors did a heart test yesterday that went from his groin artery to his heart. I will find out today if they are going to be doing the heart surgery. Otherwise, he is slowly coming back to himself. His speech is normal when he's drinking water. Otherwise, he sounds like he has a mouthful of cotton. He is weak, but volunteered to get out of bed yesterday, and that's a first. He is eating, and I told the nurses not to feed him. He can do it himself, and he did. He actually laughed when I told them this. Otherwise, I just take it one day at a time. I go and see him every day and spend a few hours with him. I either read or listen to the TV with him. He seems to be a lot calmer when I'm around. The only thing is that I'm tired, and I really need a day where I don't have to travel over an hour to see him in Los Angeles. I don't want to sound like I'm whining. He is making good progress, because this only happened a week ago Sunday. Please continue to pray for us, and I will keep everyone updated. We have a late access ride today, so I can check my email. Warmest, Pam and my Franklin. From the NFB Net, dear fellow Federationists, we are making great progress on all of our legislative issues, especially the Marrakesh Treaty. We had a very successful hearing in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee last Wednesday. Scott LaBarre did a fantastic job offering our testimony. You can view the entire hearing at the following link, https://www.foreign.senate.gov/hearings/treaties-041818. The Senate Judiciary Committee will be voting on the Marrakesh Implementation Act, Senate Bill 2559, in a few weeks. We need to build more co-sponsor support for this bill before that date. Senator Grassley is the bill's sponsor, and the current co-sponsors are Bob Corker, Tennessee, Dianne Feinstein, California, Kamala Harris, California, Orrin Hatch, Utah, Patrick Leahy, Vermont, Bob Menendez, New Jersey. If your senator is not on this list, please contact him or her and urge them to co-sponsor Senate Bill 2559, the Marrakesh Implementation Act. We are also making excellent progress on the Access Technology Affordability Act, ATAA, in both the House, 58 co-sponsors, and the Senate, 10 co-sponsors. The complete list of ATAA co-sponsors is included at the end of this email. I don't have time to read it. If your representative is not on this list, please urge them to co-sponsor HR 1734. And if you don't read your senator's names, please contact them and ask them to co-sponsor Senate Bill 732. You can contact your senator or representative by calling the Capitol Switchboard and asking for the office in question. The number is 202-224-3121. If you email your senators or representative, please copy me at jpare@nfb.org. It is critical that we move on this quickly, so please strive to make your calls and send your emails as soon as possible. I've also included a short sample ask that could be used for the items above. My name is so-and-so, and I'm a constituent of Senator such-and-such. I'm calling to encourage the senator to co-sponsor the Marrakesh Implementation Act, Senate Bill 2559. The Marrakesh Implementation Act would expand reading options for millions of blind and other Americans with print disabilities. I also ask that the senator slash representative co-sponsor Senate Bill 732 slash House Resolution 1734, the Access Technology Affordability Act. This bill will increase opportunities for blind Americans to get the access technology they need to secure education and employment. Thank you for your support of blind Americans. Sincerely, your name. Warmest regards, John. John G. Parr, Jr., Executive Director for Advocacy and Policy, 410-659-9314, extension 2218. Email jpare@nfb.org. VFO, a Ruby-level convention sponsor, will hold a session during the American Council of the Blind Conference and Convention. Thank you, VFO, for your generous support. This session will be held on Saturday, June 30th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. User group meeting for JAWS and Zoom Text customers from the past, present, and future. Join Eric Damery and Scott Moore for this two-hour session to discuss all the special home use pricing opportunities for ACB memberships. Demonstration of significant feature changes and interesting options in JAWS and Zoom Text to improve your day-to-day access on the Internet, email, and applications from Office 365 and Google Docs. Convention registration opens May 15th. Don't miss out on the fun. Make your hotel reservation today. The North Carolina Symphony announces Ben Folds performs his hits through the years with the North Carolina Symphony. Best seats available for Friday's concert. Ben Folds with the North Carolina Symphony Friday, May 4th at 8 p.m., Saturday, May 5th at 8 p.m., May Mandy Concert Hall, Raleigh. North Carolina native Ben Folds, singer, songwriter, pianist, and artistic advisor to the National Symphony Orchestra, returns for two nights with the North Carolina Symphony for an electric crossover concert event. Ben Folds is widely regarded as one of the major music influencers of our generation. He's created an enormous body of genre-bending music that includes pop albums with Ben Folds 5, multiple solo albums, and collaborations. Don't miss your chance to hear him live in concert, performing all his hits through the years. Plus, as always, a few surprises. Use the button on the website to purchase concert tickets or the VIP experience with Ben Folds. 919-733-2750. Website, www.ncsymphony.org. Triangle Sings announcements. Everything Choir in the Triangle. Choral Society of Durham presents Lauridsen's Lux Aeterna. On Saturday, May 5th, 2018, at 8 p.m. in Duke University Chapel, the Choral Society of Durham will present Morten Lauridsen's Lux Aeterna. Joining the Choral Society are choirs from the Durham School of the Arts who will perform works that are set to music writings by St. Francis of Assisi, Emily Bronte, and Helen Keller. Read more and purchase tickets for Lauridsen's Lux Aeterna at this link. Tickets are $22 for the general public and $10 for students. Presented by the Choral Society of Durham. On Sunday, April 29th, 2018 at 5 p.m., the First Presbyterian Church Chancel Choir presented a free performance in First Presbyterian Church in Greensboro. Directed by Robert Wells, the choir presented Benjamin Britten's Rejoice in the Lamb Canticle 2 and Leonard Bernstein's Chichester Psalms with John Alexander, organist. On Sunday, May 6th, 2018, at 7 p.m., the Hillier Community Chorus will perform a spring concert with orchestra and soloists. The performance will take place in Hillier Memorial Christian Church and feature Haydn's Missa Brevis in G major, Rise Up, Rejoice by Joseph Martin, I Will Make All Things New by Mary McDonald, Hope by Greg Gilpin and Pamela Stewart, and The Music of Your Love by Jan McGuire and Joel Ramey. The Hillier Memorial Christian Church is at 718 Hillsborough Street, Raleigh, NC 27603. The concert is free and you can contact 919-740-8823, Clay Taylor, for information. Unclouded Day, Music of Reminiscence and Hope. On Saturday, May 12th, 2018 at 7:30 p.m. in St. Francis United Methodist Church, the Concert Singers of Cary's Symphonic Choir and Chamber Choir will perform Unclouded Day, a concert that includes Corigliano's Fern Hill and Thompson's Alleluia. St. Francis United Methodist Church is at 2965 Kildare Farm Road, Cary, NC 27518. Contact the Concert Singers of Cary. Nathan Leaf, conductor, Jennifer Seeger, mezzo-soprano, Alan Bailey, piano, Meyer May, chamber players, Symphonic Choir, Alleluia, Randall Thompson, Fern Hill, John Corigliano with chamber orchestra, I Dream a World, David L. Bruner, Flight Song, Kim Andre Arneson, Heavenly Home, Three American Songs, Sean Kirchner, Unclouded Day, Angel Band, Hallelujah, Songs from the Tender Land, Aaron Copeland, Stomp Your Foot, The Promise of Living, Chamber Choir, all arranged by Craig Hella Johnson, Hard Times by Stephen Foster, Requiem, Eliza Gilkison, Light of a Clear Blue Morning, Dolly Parton. Tickets available on etix.com. Adult 2331, senior 2051, group of 10 or more 1958. I will close with a blog post on afb.org. Suppose you've graduated your orientation and mobility lessons and you've successfully mastered a handful of routes. You can get from home to work and back, to Starbucks and back, because let's face it, this route is perhaps the most vital, to the gym and back, and to the grocery store and back. You and the cane have found your rhythm, shorelining, well, it's practically a breeze, and bus travel now only gives you a smidge of anxiety. You've made great strides, but now the guys at the office invite you to a new restaurant in town. You're determined to get there independently. Are you up for the challenge? With the collection of orientation and mobility tools and skills under your belt, but please, if you haven't received proper training in travel skills for those who are blind or visually impaired, start there, and this time hire an Uber. It's time to create a plan, and just as important, a backup plan, and take a measured risk. Don't let fear rob you of an independent life. I know this can be overwhelming. It's why I want to share former Career Connect program manager Joe Straitge's words as he reflected on tackling an unfamiliar route despite the uncertainties. Read Push Your Limits and Take Measured Risks from 2013. Know that all travelers who are blind or significantly visually impaired have to make decisions as to whether or not they will push themselves past their comfort levels time and again. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast podcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradingservice.org. So long until next time, if you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.